Sadie Bez, yeah, Sadie Bay, Sadie Bay. Okay, so we're on Sadie Alphon Bay. So 91A, 91B, 91B, a few lines from the bottom. So it's again. So the Gemara, we were discussing about Ketubah Binyan Zichrin, and then the Gemara brought in like about evaluating properties, and the Gemara had like a case, a financial case, which we discussed yesterday, that had to do with, you know, inflating the price of something, and then one thing led to another. So we're now a little bit moved away from Ketubahs, but we're, you know, talking about, you know, different, you know, financial transactions. So three lines from the bottom on Sadi Alphon Beis. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar Sadele Shimon Shlobach Rayot. If Reuven sold a field, green acre, to Shimon Shlobach Rayot. Shlobach Rayot means, in law, we call it like the quit claim deed. In other words, if there are any, if you have any problems with the title to this property, you're on your own. In other words, that's the title. In other words, if my creditor sees it, other people come, they claim the field, you know, tough luck. So, but, you know, take it subject to those rules. Then Shimon, who was the purchaser, he turned around and he sold the same field, green acre, back to Reuven, but with Achrayas. Meaning, I don't know what the circumstances were, but maybe Shimon decided he needed money, cash, or whatever. He sold green acre, and he sells green acre back to the original seller, but this time Shimon undertakes to, like, guarantee the title. So it means, let's say if Shimon has a creditor and the creditor comes to, you know, and seizes the property, I'm going to compensate you. In other words, that's it. I'll make you whole. The top line in Sadie Beis Manala, the Ataba Alchob de Reuven, the Katarif Lamine. And then Reuven's creditor came and seized Greenacre. So again, Reuven was the original owner and Reuven had a creditor. He sold the field to Shimon Shlobach Rayas without any guarantees. And then Shimon, at some later point in time, sells the same field back to Reuven, but now guaranteeing the title. And now Reuven's creditor comes and seizes the field. So Dinahu da'azil Shimon umatzilei. So the Gemara says the halacha is that Shimon should come, and Shimon has to make Reuven whole. That's what we think. In other words, Shimon has to come and honor his agreement, and even against Reuven's creditor. So Amali Rabba. Rabbi says, wait, when Shimon was making a promise, like, I'm going to, you know, guarantee title to this field against any problems, he mistama meant it from that came elsewhere in the world. He says, Akrayt da'alma kabilei. Akrayt da'afshemi kabilei. He didn't say, in other words, if you yourself have incurred some debt, which is occurring, causing the field to be taken away, He didn't mean that he would would be guaranteed as well. Okay, let's take a look. Let's take a look. One second. Okay. Yeah, we'll look at Rashi, the third narrow line. All the claimants, you know, that not because of Reuven, that's what Shimon was going to say, I'm going to like protect you from. But his own problem, he didn't intend to, guarantee. But the Gemara says four lines from the top. So it's a good question. What was Rami Brahma's thing? So Rami Brahma. Well, Rami Racham would be thinking like this. Okay, one time. Let's say. I think this is the way Rabbi Leibowitz explained it. Let's say Reuven sold the field to Shimon. Let's say Shimon had sold the same field now to Levi, and had guaranteed Levi a Achrayus. So, and then Reuven's creditor came and seized it from Levi. So that would have been part of his like guarantee. So what's the difference if, in other words, he's making the guarantee, what's the difference if it comes from Reuven that way, or if he sells it back to Reuven? In other words, that would be the way I think it would work. Okay, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. So now on line four, and then I'll pause in just a few lines. Umoda Rava Reuven Shirash Sadam Yaakov. But Rava concedes, let's say Reuven inherited property from his father Yaakov, Greenacre, Umachor the Shimon. He sells to Shimon. Shimon, in this example, is not his brother. It was Reuven sells the field to Shimon, but it's the field that he inherited from Yaakov. He says, Shlobach Rayat. and he sells it not any like a quit claim deed, not any guarantees. But after Shimon umachro the Reuven b'achrayit, then Shimon comes and sells it back to Reuven b'achrayit. But after Balchov Yaakov, and now Yaakov, the father's creditor, comes the Katarif Leminei. And now, so now, in other words, Reuven inherited the father, the green acre from his father Yaakov, and then he sold it to Shimon without a prius. Then Shimon sells it back to him with a prius, guaranteeing the title. And now his father's creditor comes and seizes the field. In this case, Rav agrees that Shimon is obligated, even though Rav disagreed in the first case. In this case, Rav agrees that he's obligated to make him whole. My taima, Balchov Yaakov, Balchov the Almadami. That Yaakov's creditor is like a creditor from the Beltarain. It's not Reuven. It's somebody else from the Beltarain. So Mela, everything falls into place. Okay, let's just repeat again, and then we'll take questions, comments, and forth. Okay, so we're talking about where we have Reuven has a field, green acre. He sells it to Shimon Shlobach Rayas without any guarantee. And I think it's the halacha, but I think Rabbi Leibowitz may have mentioned this. It says like the Gemara says that according to one opinion, that Achrayus told Sofer, that every transaction is assumed that you're going to undertake to guarantee the title, unless you have a disclaimer vis-a-vis that. Anyway, but either way, so Reuven sells Greenacre to Shimon Shlobo Achrayus, like without any guarantees. And then Shimon, maybe he needs money, whatever, he ends up selling Shimon Greenacre back to Reuven, but this time with Achrayus, with guaranteeing like the title. And then Reuven's creditor comes and sees Greenacre from Reuven. So what are the rights and remedies of the parties? So according to Rami Bar Chama, Reuven can seek compensation from Shimon because Shimon had guaranteed the title. But according to Rav, not. When Rami Bar Chama is guaranteeing the title, guaranteeing the title from everybody else in the world, not from your own like misdeeds. In other words, you messed everything up. I'm not going to guarantee that. That's what he says. But even notwithstanding that, Rava does agree that if Reuven had yarshed in the property from his father Yaakov in the same fact pattern, and then Yaakov's creditor came to see Reuven, then Rava holds. And in that case, then the guarantee comes into place. Okay, who has questions, comments, or thoughts? Anything? Yeah, what's up? Wait. Reuven sells the field to Shimon. Shimon sells it back to Reuven.
What kind of agreement did
he make? He said, I'm selling this with Achrayus. So he says, I'm guaranteeing this property. If you have any if you have any problems from anybody, I'm guaranteeing it. Yeah. That's the machloket in the Gemara. In other words, the assumption is normally that I'm guaranteeing this. I don't know like what's going to happen in the world. I don't know like maybe I have a creditor. Maybe another claimant's going to come claim the property's his, something like that. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to guarantee it. So the question is, am I also guaranteeing it from your own? It was you that you did something. Well. All right. Well, anyway, that's my cloak in the Gemara. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's keep moving. I don't know. Let's take a look. All right, now. Okay. Okay, now we're around 10 lines down on Sadi Beis Medala. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar Sadele Shimon Bachrayev. So, a different case. Reuven sells Green Acre to Shimon Bachrayev. So, in other words, he's guaranteeing the title. The Zakaf Alab Milda. So, in this case, Shimon doesn't have enough money to pay for the field. So the price of Greenacre is $10,000. He sells it to Shimon in quotation marks, but Shimon doesn't have the $10,000. Well, what they do is they come to an agreement that Shimon is going to have an IOU note and we're going to treat it like a halva. In other words, so now you owe me the money in terms of a halva. Okay, you owe me the money with a halva. We made Reuven, then Reuven dies. Va'ataba chob Reuven v'katar flami Shimon. And now Reuven's creditor, who has a lien on the property, wants to come and seize the property from Shimon. He wants to seize it. And Shimon, he preemptively goes to him and says, look, I was going to give this $10,000 to the estate of Reuven because that's how much money I owe them. So I'm going to give you the $10,000. So Dinahu, the Amri B'nai Reuven, so the halacha is, according to Rami Bar Chama, that B'nai Reuven, Reuven's Yorshim, can say, so now, let's go slowly with this. So Shimon, as he looks at the world, he owes $10,000 to Reuven. Reuven's not alive, but his Yorshim are alive. So he owes $10,000 to the estate. Then Zevulun, who's Reuven's creditor, shows up. He wants to seize Greenacre. I love Greenacre. I don't want him to take Greenacre away from me. So I take $10,000 out of my piggy bank and I paid $10,000 to Shimon. So now, I paid $10,000 to Zebulun. He pays $10,000 to the Malvit, to the creditor. Now, does he still owe the $10,000 to the Yorshim? Does he still owe the $10,000 to the Yorshim? So the Gemara says, let's get back on the Gemara. Dinahu da'amidei b'nei Reuven, the halacha is that Reuven's sons can say to Shimon, Anan metatle shabak avun gabah. As far as we're concerned, our father's claim against you is just for metatle and non-property. In other words, we worked out this deal. The deal is, our father worked out this deal with you. You owe him $10,000, so you owe him non-karka. U'metatle yatni l'balachov l'mishabde. So the Baal Chov would not be able to seize money from you. In other words, the Baal Chov, you chose to pay him. But we're like immune from, judgment proof vis-a-vis the Malva. The Malva can only seize real property. But he didn't take the real property. You paid him ahead of time. We don't have any real property from our father. And as far as you paying the $10,000 and you want the credit for it vis-a-vis us, but as far as we're concerned, the money that you owe him, that was not subject to any lien from the creditor. So you still owe us the money. Let's take a look. He says, so you still owe us the money. So Amarava, so Rava says, if Shimon is smart, what he should do is, he should pay back the Yorshim now with a piece of land, a green acre or something like that. And then collect it back. In other words, again, if you remember, Reuven had made a promise to Shimon. You have any promise of this property, I'm going to make you whole. That was Reuven's promise to Shimon. So, but then Reuven's creditor wanted to take the property, or was threatening to take away the green acre from Shimon. So Shimon dug into his pocket and gave him $10,000. So now, what are the rights and remedies of the party? So Rami Rachama says that now that doesn't help him. He still owes $10,000 to Reuven. But Rava says there's a way he can sort of adjust himself and have his cake and eat it too. So it's coming. Wait. so if he pays back the debt to Reuven, to Reuven's heirs with land, in other words, so it seems like Greenacre would be a good choice, but if he has other land to pay back the debt piece of land, then, so now I owed your father $10,000. Here's the land for the $10,000. Now, there was a promise your father made to make me whole. And vis-a-vis claims against the estate, are the land is subject to seizure. So he says, let's see back in the Gemara, he says, so he'll give them the land, the Yorshim, and then he'll collect it from the Yorshim to Rav Nachman, like Rav Nachman says. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Yitomim Shigabu Karka Bechov Rabiyam, if Yitomim collected Karka for the debt of their fathers, which would be this case, they're collecting the land to satisfy the father's debt or money over to the father, then a Baal Chov can come and seize the land from them, because we view the land, one way to view it is the land was already in the estate at the time of the father's death. It just wasn't physically in the estate, but it's going back based on an original transaction. So that would be a way that Shimon could protect his rights. Okay, one second. Now, I just want to think one second. Now there was a Ran that Rabbi Leibowitz was quoting, and it was also quoted in the Sifta. He was saying like this: like let's say Reuben's creditor, who I called Zvulun before, let's say instead of seizing the money, he had actually seized the property. So then, what are the rights and remedies of the parties at that point in time? So he seized the property, but the guarantee, though, is only satisfied vis-a-vis the real property that the Yatomim owe. So then Shimon would be up a creek then. In other words, he owes the money, but he can only collect the money with real property. But the Yatomim don't have any property. So then Shimon would be up a creek. Okay, but here, in this case, if he handles it the way the rabbi suggested, it works out well for him. Okay, who's the question? In other words, Baal Chov can only collect from the Yatomim from the real property, not from the Yatomim. What's up? Wait. Which case? What do you mean? Wait. So Zvulun came, and then Shimon gave him $10,000, right? So it was Reuven owed Zvulun $10,000. Then Reuven was going to seize Greenacre, and said Shimon gave him $10,000. Yeah, so he's finished. Yeah. Right. He's happy. He's done. He's finished. Okay. All right. What did you say? You told me what? What? Say again. Wait. Oh, wait. If he handles it the smart way, then that's it. Okay. All right. He should pay back the debt with Karka. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Okay. Now. Now we're around eight lines from the bottom near the asterisk. Amaraba Reuven Shemakar close to the top of the Shimon. So it says if Reuven sold all of his fields to Shimon. So every field he had, he sells to Shimon. Because of Shimon Makar said that found a lady. And then Shimon had one field which he sold to Lady. Now a Baal Chov normally collects these three types of lands: Idit, Beinonit, and Ziburit. Idit is grade A, Beinonit grade B, and Ziburit is grade C. So when you collect a debt, you're going to get the same amount of money. In other words, whether it's like half an acre of grade A or a whole acre of grade C, you're getting your money's worth. You know, it's like which way is more, like a ton of feathers or a ton of steel. They both weigh the same thing. But everybody would rather have Idit. In other words, you'd rather have, you know, the choice A. But Baal Chov normally collects Beinoni. Baal Chov collects the Beinoni land. Now, let's say Reuven had 15 parcels of land, five being Edit, five Beinonit, and five Ziburit. And then of the Beinonit, he has, Reuven sold all of his properties to Shimon. And then so Shimon is like in the place of Reuven at this point in time, because the Baal Chov is going to collect from the Karka. That's land is the key. And then Shimon sells one Beinoni parcel to Levi. One of the Beinoni parcels he sells to Levi. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Reuven Shemachar close to tell, and that was similar to the way Rabbi Levi was. He had 12 parcels, like 15, but you got it. So Amar Rabbi Reuven Shemachar close to Shimon, Bechaser Shimon Machar said that cut Levi. Now, then Shimon goes and sells one of his parcels to Levi. But at the Baal Chov to Reuven, now the Baal Chov, the creditor, Reuven's creditor, is showing up, Zvulun. He says, Ratsami Zegove, Ratsami Zegove. So he can collect the property. He can go to Shimon and collect the property, or he can go to Levi and collect the property. In other words, Levi's got one of the Beinoni properties, and then he can go to Shimon, and even if Shimon doesn't even have any more Beinoni, he can collect the Edith from Shimon, because he could say, I view you as taking the place of Reuven, because he sold all of his properties to you. Below Amran, El Zabna Beinoni. This, he can only go to Levi if Shimon sold Levi a Beinoni parcel. Aval Zabna Idit Zigurit, but if Shimon sold a grade A parcel or a grade C parcel to Levi, Matsi Amarle, Levi could say to Zvulun, Lahaki Tarki was a Vini Ara Glochazilat. He says, that's why I purchased property that was the grade A or grade C because I know that you're Baal Chov, you're Beinoni. Who Beinoni Nami Lo Amran, and when we said that he can seize the Beinoni, Elo Shabak Beinoni to Chabatah, that's only when there's no Benoni that Shimon has anymore. In other words, Levi purchased a parcel of land, but when Levi bought it, he didn't leave any Benoni with Shimon.
Okay,
yeah. So then, yeah. So then the Baal Kol can go to the Benoni. Or he can still go to Shimon, we said. Aval, Shabbat Benoni to Chabato, but if he left Benoni with Shimon, Matzi Amarle, then Levi could say to the Baal Kol, he knocked the Chamakom, the Gabori man. I left you Benoni and the Shimon. Shimon is like the successor to Reuven. Shimon bought all of Reuven's lands. So in Achinami, I bought one Benoni from Shimon, but you know, you should go to Shimon is the address to go to. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? And Levi has a Benoni. Then he's lined up. Yeah. So it's generally understood like that people, in other words, when I buy land from somebody, and if he's like in hock for money, so it's we take it that it's publicized. You have a shtar, so that's what makes him a shuba. Right, that's exactly the case. In other words, the Reuven is selling all of his properties, you know, for a song. So it's like even without even investigating, you know, that something is going on. Yeah, presumably. Yeah, that's everybody knows what they're getting into. And I think this is the way Rabbi Leibowitz was explaining as well. All right, now let's be back to the Gemara. All right, so I'm going on. Okay, line 2 of Tzadik Beis Amud Beis. We're making good progress. Well, we'll do more into Daf Tzadik Gimel today. We'll see how far we get. Okay, so Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sadeh L'Shimon Bachraya. So Abaye says, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon Bachraya, it means with the guarantee, Ba'ata Balchov de Reuven v'Katar Flemine. And then the Balchov of Reuven shows up and wants to seize it. So Reuven sells Green Acre to Shimon. He sells it with a guarantee. And then, not surprisingly, Reuven's creditor shows up and he wants to seize the land from Shimon. So he says, Dinahu da'azu Reuven mafzile. Reuven can interpose himself in the litigation. In other words, his Reuven's creditor, in my example, Zvulun, wants to seize Greenacre from Shimon. So Reuven can intervene in the litigation and make arguments to say that you know you're not entitled to seize the land. And Zvulun can't say you have nothing to do with this. My litigation is just with Shimon. Mishum da Amarle, because Reuven then could say to Zvulun, the Mafka Mine, if when you seize the land, you seize Greenacre from Shimon, Alai Hadar, he's gonna come back to me because I sold it with the guarantee. Now let's see back in Rashi, the top Rashi. Dinu da azu Reuven mafzile im yesh lo alav shum gilgul devarim l'asho chov k'neged chov. Maybe Reuven could say, you know, you're claiming I owe you $10,000, but I also lent you $10,000. You owe me $10,000. Oh, ishtabali lo pratika, or I paid up this debt. I want you to take a shua that I didn't pay you. So he could interpose himself. Now, 4 lines from the bottom, Amri, others say, Afil Shlobach Rai Nami, even if Reuven sold the land to Shimon Shlobach Rai with no guarantees, he could still interpose himself. The Amarle lo nichali tevele the Shimon Terumin alai. He could say, I don't want Shimon to have tightness against me. In other words, in Achinami, Shimon can't sue me if you seize Greenacre successfully, but I don't want my name to be mud. And I don't want him to have tightness against me. And so I think there are defenses to this action. This is now, all right, now let me just pause for 1 second. Let me just do wait, station identification. Okay, now, this is from the Al Hadaf. So, as mentioned above, a borrower's karka is encumbered for repayment of his debt. And therefore, if he sells his fields, his creditor could confiscate them from the buyer in payment of his debt. Generally, the buyer, after having his fields confiscated by the seller's creditor, is entitled to demand a refund from the seller unless the field was sold to him shlobach prayis. In other words, we're going to assume that the default is you are guaranteeing it unless you specifically indicate that you're not guaranteeing it. It says, the Gemara discussed the case in which Shimon bought a field from Reuven and then was confronted by Levi. So in his example, it's Levi and mine was Zvulun. He says, who wanted to confiscate the field claiming to be Reuven's creditor. The Gemara says that Reuven is entitled to assist Shimon in contesting Levi's claim, because Reuven is considered a Baal Davar, a principal litigant, since he will be obligated to refund to refund Shimon the money he paid for the field, but the field is confiscated. Moreover, the Gemara says Reuven is considered a baldavar and is entitled to confront Levi in court, even if the field was sold to Shimon Shlobach Riot. The Gemara explains that the fact that Shimon will have Tarumas, a grievance against Reuven if his field was confiscated, is sufficient grounds to deem Reuven a baldavar and permit him to join the litigation, even though he's not obligated to refund Shimon's money if the property is confiscated. Rishonim point out that as a rule, when a purported creditor claims to have a lien on purchased or inherited property, the court considers all possible counterclaims on behalf of the buyer or heir, since they have no knowledge regarding the plaintiff's claim. Tanin lokeh, the court presents claims on behalf of a buyer. So it means if there's litigation in the court will make arguments on behalf of Shimon. The court will make every argument on behalf of Shimon. Consequently, the Rishonim question the practical benefit of Reuven's participation in the litigation. Even though Shimon, the buyer, may not be equipped with enough facts to dispute Levi's claim to his field, the court will, as a matter of course, demand that Levi verify his claim before permitting him to confiscate Shimon's field. Tosfos and Bava Metzia Daf Yudalad suggest two possible reasons for Reuven wanting to join the litigation. A, Levi would be less inclined to lie and swear falsely in Reuven's presence since Reuven has personal knowledge of his deceit. So just his presence there would have a chilling effect on the creditor. And B, alternately, Reuven might want to participate in litigation because he's more clever and keen than Shimon, as capable of presenting stronger arguments to support his case. So, yeah, they're going to argue for him, but, like, you know, Reuven really knows the ins and outs of it, so that might be another reason. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us on anything we did so far? No. Yeah. All right, what's going on? Okay, we're back in the Gemara on Kledi Beis Amud Beis. Okay, now we're moving to tomorrow's daf. But I don't give daf tomorrow, but we're still moving to tomorrow's daf. Now, okay, the bottom line. Everybody with me? So Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar said to Shimon Shlobach Raiot. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon Shlobach Raiot with no guarantee, I call it a quick claim deed, then claimants, you know, interposed themselves and they said it's really our field. Rashi just says Orin. Ajlo Hichsikba. So before Shimon is the buyer. So Ajlo, before Shimon does Chazaka. Now again, Chazaka means like 15 different things in the Gemara. But one, the type of Chazaka they're talking about here is when he does an action, like he does something with the field to indicate the field is his. Like it could be Nal, Gadar, Paratz. He builds a fence. He takes down a fence. He opens up an opening the fence. Or we'll see another way of doing this. But he does like a proprietary act with respect to the field. So that's a kinyan. If he does Chazaka with the field, that's an act of kinyan. Well, we'll talk about payment in a minute. He says, so if he has not yet made a chazak on the field, he can pull back from the deal. Once he did a chazaka, then all bets are off. Because the seller, Reuven, could say to Shimon, I sold you like a bag like filled with nuts. In other words, and you decided to keep it. So let's look at Rashi. He says on the fourth white line, "Saber b'kabila." In other words, you knew when I was selling you the field without achrayas, you knew it was a risky venture, but you decided to risk it, and the risk didn't work out so well for you. So I'm so sorry, like too bad, so sad. Exactly right. Now let's take a look. Now, when is he considered to have done a chazak on the field? When he walks along the boundaries of the field. That's one way to do the chazaka. He walks along the boundaries, and they would usually have like a little mound of dirt on the edges of the property. So he walks all around the bounds of the property. Others want to say, even if Reuven sold the field to Shimon Bachrayus, and then there's these claimants, Shimon, if he could pull out of the deal until he makes a chazaka. Once he makes a chazaka, he can't pull out of the deal, even though he has the right to go back to court and demand compensation. This is the Amarle, because Reuven could say to Shimon, show me like the order from the Bezdin, you know, awarding the land to these Orin, and then I'll pay you the money. Till I see that, I don't trust that necessarily it's going to be that way. In other words, the fact that you're saying these claimants are coming, you know, in other words, let's say you did a chazak on the field. And now you want to pull out of the deal because I guaranteed it. So it's nice, but I want to see, let's see the whole litigation. They're not going to come seize the field. They're going to go to court and present their evidence. Now, one second, let's see the Rashi. He says, show me the star the Bezdin wrote. And then you come to me. As long as the land has not been officially taken from you by the Bezdin, I'm not paying you. Lots of claimants that aren't successful in their litigation. So, yeah, so the fact, in other words, right. So you're running to me, you know, that's it. So, okay. So, all right, now let me do a little bit from the Al-Hadaf, then we'll move on. Okay. So real estate is legally acquired by one of three kinyanim, kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Money, or shtar, a deed, and then a chazaka, demonstration of ownership, such as fixing the fence. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara Bava Metzia Mem Zayin, says that although Minat Torah one can acquire metaphysically with kesef, by rabbinic decree, the sale of chattel is not final until the buyer performs the act of mashicha. Mashicha is when you pull it into your rishos. That's for metaphysically. He said, "The remember that's in Hazahav. Remember, there's my folks in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what's kona for metalcha. Anyway, so the Mishnah in Bava Metzia says it is unethical to retract from a sale of chattel after money was paid, although legally possible, and one who does so incurs the curse of Misha Para. In other words, once I paid you the money for metalchalim, so I shouldn't retract from the sale and say I changed my mind." Because Misha Para, like the Bezin says, the one who punished the generation of the Dor Mabul should set exact retribution on one who renegs on his word. In other words, if you agreed to go forward with the deal, now you want to pull out, like, well, shatter the deal to invoke this curse of Misha Para. Abai says that if one buys the field Shlobach Raya, the seller accepting liability, and discovers that the property is mortgaged to the seller's creditor, he may retract from the sale as long as the valid kinyan was not yet performed. However, after a chazaka, an act of shemesh ownership was performed, the buyer can no longer retract, and the seller can demand payment for his field, despite the pending confiscations since it was sold price. That's the halakha we had in our Gemara, right? With the Sikadam, right? So we didn't have a buyer here, though. That must be the other Gemara. What's that? Let's take a look. We never buy. What's that? No. We had a buyer on volume 2. I'm our buyer. Right. There was a bias halacha. So this is all a bias halacha. The Ikadamri is like another version. So that's what Abaye is saying. So he says here, Rashi comments that Abaye permits the buyer to retract prior to Kinyan Chazaka only if he did not pay for the field. Once he pays for the field, he cannot retract since paying for the field is a Kinyan, which renders the field legally his. So in other words, if he did a Kinyan Chazaka, he can't retract, but if he paid the money, that's the way Rashi is saying. Now, that doesn't seem to go so well. So Tosfos comments that sometimes the buyer could retract from the purchase of real estate even after you paid for it. He says that in places where it is customary to purchase real estate with shtar, not with money, only the transfer of the deed affects the transaction, not the payment of money. So it depends on the minhag makom. Tosfos maintains that in such places, if the buyer, after paying for the field, discovers a pre-existing mortgage, he is permitted to retract from the sale, but he did not yet receive a shtar. Tosfos explains that in such a case, where the buyer discovers that his purchase might be worthless due to the mortgage, he's justified in retracting from the sale and requesting a refund, and he does not incur the curse of Misha Para. When it occurs the curse of Misha Para, only if he retracts from the sale due to market fluctuation or a change of heart. Whereas Tosfos indicates the curse of Misha Para applies to the sale of Karka as well as Metaphilim, some Rishonim suggest the curse of Misha Para only applies to the sale of Metaphilim, not Karka. It's important to note that the Gemara in Bava Metzia states that even when there is no consequence of Misha Para, it is still improper and dishonest for one to renege on his word. The Gemara says, for example, that even if one declared that he intends to give his friend a gift, he should not violate his word, even though such a declaration has no legal significance. So it means that sometimes you can have a promise which is not legally enforceable, but nevertheless, a person should keep by his word. That's what the Gemara. Okay. It says, in Bava Metzia, the Gemara says, it's in the Mishnah over there. It says, in Hazahav, it says, Misha Pora Man Shei Dor Mabul will be Porea for somebody who does not Omei B'Dibur Ro. All right. Now, if you remember, So there was a whole Hesper. Why is it from the Anshei Dor HaMavol? Right. Right. So it means like this. Remember, so I think the Torah Tamim explains. Remember, the Chazal teaches the Anshei Dor HaMavol, they would go and they would steal less than a pruta. And that's something that they can't have like recourse. They can't have recourse in a Bezdin. So, but nevertheless, that was considered a big Aveira and Hashem punished them for it. So it's saying the same thing. So if a person doesn't keep his word, even though it's not necessarily, even though it's not necessarily enforceable in Bezdin, Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam who punished the people in Dor HaMavol, even though it was enforceable in Bezdin, he's going to punish like the people who don't keep their word. That's the idea. I think that was in the Torah Tamima, I think, says that in Parsh Noah. So I don't know, but there's the Mishnah Para. I think the Gemara has a number of Mishnah Paras. It has a couple of things, and the one who is mapping between Bechorim and Mitzrayim, and a number of events it goes through. But you have to give a hesber in each one. You know why was Mishnah Para? They claim that what? That who wanted Eretz Yisrael? Esav wanted Eretz Yisrael. Right. All right, let's do the next Mishnah. It's a little complicated, but we'll do the best we can. Okay? All right, Manitin, everybody with me, so we're on Sadi Gimel Mer Aleph, line 6. Mishnah and the Gemara. So Manitin, Mishnah Nasu Shlosh Nashim. Person was married to three wives. It's already complicated. Who made, and then he dies. Subatashlo Zumana, like the tuba from wife number one is a mana, 100 zuz. Rishalzuma time. From wife number two, it's 200 zuz. Rishalzu shalosh miyot. And wife number three is 300. The ancient shamalamana. He's generous, but he doesn't have any money. So he only, his whole estate is one mana. So the question is going to be, how do they divide this 100 zuz? So one woman has a claim of 100 zuz, one of them 200 zuz, one 300 zuz, but now only 100 zuz in the estate. Well, yeah. So Rashi explains that they're all written the same day. Let's look at the Rashi, the 10th narrow line. He says, "Manitin shalzumah b'shalzumah time kulei." So, u'shlosh nechtim will be yom echad. They're all three were signed the same day. Di'ibitlati yomei, because if it was on three separate days, like Yosef was saying, "Hakudem b'shtar, kudem b'gibui." The one who's the older star has priority. So they're all the same day. So that variable is removed from us. So let's see what.
Do you know at this point if they're all, if one and two are statutory and three was generosity based?
In other words, the one who had the 100 zuz.
Almana.
Presumably an almana. Presumably, okay. Now, the ein sham elamana kolkin b'shabbat. So here the Tana Mishnah says they'll divide equally. So the 100, in other words, they each have a shibud on the first 100 zuz. So even though two have a claim more than 100 zuz, they're going to divide it three ways, so it's 33 and a third zuz to each person. Now, Hayusha Matayim. Now, case number two, let's say instead of having 100 zuz in his estate, he's dead, there's 200 zuz in the estate. Now, let's think this through for a second. Now, with the 200 zuz, with the first 100, there are three claimants, right? With the first 100 zuz, there are three claimants against the first 100. So I left my own devices. I would think that everybody from the first 100 zuz gets 33 and a third. That's what I would think. Then the second 100 zuz, there are two claimants. So I would think, left my own svara, the 200, the 100 zuz, the second 100 zuz is 50-50. And then the first one would be 33 and a third to each one. So I would think that wives number two and three would each get 83 and a third. And wife number one, which you get 33 and a third. That's the way I would think.
Why?
Again, wife number one claims 100 zuz. Wife number two, 200 zuz. Wife number three, 300 zuz. Let's focus. So let's look at the pot. We're all looking at the pot together. Looking at the whole pot with three wives, three of us here. Imagine we're fives. We're looking at the whole pot together. Now, the first 100 zuz, who has got a claim against the first 100 zuz?
All three
have a claim against the first 100 zuz. Right. And then the second 100 zuz, who's got a claim against the second 100?
All three of them.
Why?
Because number one, as number one looks at the scene, number one feels the first entrance should be all hers. But that's the extent of her claim. Well, we're just trying to dispose of the money. We're like, as we're looking at the scenery. So the way we view it is that the first 100 zuz get three people claiming the first 100 zuz. The second 100 zuz, two people claiming it. That's the way we look at it. Now, let's take a look. All right, 1 minute. Let's look at Rashi on this. Look at the 10th narrow line of Rashi. Yusha Matayim. Everyone with me? Yosef? Ein lebalat mana shibud el lebalat rishon. The balat mana only has a shibud, a security interest in the first 100 zuz. He says about the mana sheni in shibud l'shtara shalmana. In other words, you know, if you think of it like the star creates a shibud, the star creates a lien against the property, but the star only has a koach to create the lien. In other words, imagine instead of having 300 to 200 zuz, imagine instead of having 200 zuz, let's say they had, you know, two parcels of property. One property was worth 100 zuz, the other property was worth 100 zuz. So the woman with the star for 100 zuz only can have a shibud against one property. In other words, that's what her star entitles her to, a shibud, a lien against 100. All right, anyway, all right, well let's see back in the Gemara. Now,
is your wife having the same trouble I'm having?
I guess so. Yes. Okay, 1 minute. We'll see what we can do with that.
Welcome.
Okay, now. Okay, Matai. Now, what is it? It says, okay, now I lost the place. Okay. Wait. Okay. Hayusha Matayim, Shomana no telet chamishim. Now, here, Tanisha says the one with the mana is going to end up with 50, not 33 and a third. The one with the 200 and 300 are each going to get 75 zuzim. So in other words, it's going to be 50, 75, 75. So we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to say that the $200 woman said to the $100 woman that I'm not going to contest my right vis-a-vis you in the first 100 zuz. In other words, I'm not going to, you know, try to, you know, have tightness against you with the first 100 zuz. So with the first 100 zuz, 50, so now the first 100 zuz, it's like, it's just like, and you, some want to say, another way, it's still hard to, some want to say that it's not just the 200, but the 300 also. If you say the 300 one, and it looks a little bit easier, that so it comes out like this, that the first 100 zuz, they're going to divide it equally. 50 to the 100, and then 50 to the
200. Oh, you froze. Are you out? Are you in? Are you out?
Hello, do you hear?
I'm hearing you, but he's connected.
He's off he's somehow. Out. I don't know what happened to him.
He froze.
He's
for
out.
Me
he bought the field.
Which one? The Zibori?
He bought the field.
I wasn't understanding.
I think there's a machlokes about buying the field. If you sold it without the chrayas, if somebody stands on the field, on the corner of the field, whether he's done a chazakah on it already or not.
I don't know, but this with the why the 100 lady doesn't have a right to this, to a piece of the second 100, I'm not satisfied with his explanations.
Explanation, yeah.
One second, I'm going to tell.
We're still on. Normally he's.
I'm going to call Yose Taka. You hear? He's been right. And the last place was when I asked you if you had the same problem. Yes. And then he was off. Okay. You must have busted the Zoom, huh? Was it that, or was it the price of the Etrogim? Or was it the price of the Etrogim? That busted the Zoom too.
Can you hear me?
I can, but all these other people.
Yeah, I understand. Anyway, this thing just by itself, it like went out. I'm trying to reconnect, and it's just a preparing meeting, but it's not connecting.
Yeah, you froze, and then you were out. I'm talking to Arthur. We're catching up.
You're off. The picture is out. His picture is out too.
Wait, he's talking. What'd you say?
Similarly, if three people enter into a business venture together, let's say like a fund, like to invest, so there's a question what this means. But one way, so this meeting is being recorded by the host or a participant. Got it. Okay.
Got it.
Okay, now we're back on. Okay, good.
Nice to see you again.
Okay, we totally missed the Hayusham Shalosh Meot. Can anyone hear me? You're muted, Rabbi Goldstein. You're muted.
I don't hear him at all.
You are muted on the icon. You have a line going through your microphone.
He's muted. We don't hear him. We don't hear him.
Now this is done. Can you hear me now?
Are
you back? Okay.
Okay. Now, okay. I have to mute all of you for a second. Okay. Okay. Now you're all muted. Okay. Now. Okay. So I'm just going to finish the Mishnah, and then we'll go over the Mishnah again. Okay. On the bottom line of the Mishnah, it says "B'chein shloshashi tilakis tikatuo tiru tak ein cholkin." In other words, if three people put their money into a joint venture, a business venture, so. Like one way to understand it is like the profits will be distributed in accordance with how much money they put in. So it wouldn't be directly related necessarily to all the halakha of the Mishnah, but Tosos learns he says Lo Mamish Dumi Duresha and the Bechain Shlosha Sheitilu in Tosos. He says the Hachakul Kano Tilfi Motav Rabbeinu Chanal Piresh the Baba Batraitekai. Rabbeinu Chanal says it's referring to the last case in the Mishnah. All right, so let me go over again. Okay. So we had three cases in the Mishnah. So the first case in the Mishnah was we have three women. One has got a ksuba for 100, one's got a ksuba 200, one's got a ksuba 300. But the whole estate is just 100 zuz. Then we say they divide the 100 zuz three ways. Everybody was good with that, 33 and a third. All right.
Is there a machloket in the Gemara about prorating it differently?
No. The first case, I don't think so. Okay. Now the second case is we have the same three women, but now we have 200 zuz in the pot. So for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain, I started to say it outside, but in the first 100 zuz, which you didn't agree with and Yosef had questions, the woman with the 100 zuz suba only has a shibud, a lien against the first 100 zuz. He only has a lien against the first 100 zuz. So I would have thought, left to my own devices, that with the first 100 zuz, they each divided three ways, and the second 100 zuz, they should divide it two ways. But it's not going to be that way. The Gemara is going to explain that the Mishnah is talking about a little more complicated case where the woman with the 200 zuz ksuba said to the woman with the 100 zuz ksuba that I'm not going to interpose myself in the first 100 with you. But the Gemara is going to have questions about it. But basically it comes out that the first 100 is going to be divided two ways, 50-50, and then the two other women are going to divide the 50. It's 25. So it's 25-25-50. So 50 goes to the 100 zuz and 25-25 each other one. And then the next 100 is divided 50-50. So it's 75-75-50. Then the third case in the Mishnah is, again, we have three women, but now with the pot, it's got 300 zuz. So in this case, the first 100 is going to be divided as before, and we'll see the case more if we get to it. And so the first 100 zuz will be divided 50-50. And then the second 100 zuz will be divided 50-50. And the third 100 zuz will be just the third lady. So the third woman is going to get 150, and the second woman is going to get 100, and the first one gets 50. Okay, now let's see in the Gemara, and then we'll take questions, okay? So the Gemara says...
That's a perfect prorating, because each person walks away with half.
Right, that's what Tosfos was saying. That's what Tosfos was saying. So when the Gemara says that if you make an investment, so your return is like has to be like prorated, so it's like the last case according to Tosfos. So each one got, you know... So Gemara, so now we're focusing on the second case in the Mishnah. Gemara, Shalmana notel chamishim. So we said the one with the 100 zuz ksuba gets 50, tlat v'tilta hu itla. She should get 33 and a third. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says in the case of the Mishnah is talking about, so we have the facts of the Mishnah, but additional facts. Amar Shmuel, b'kotevet balat matayim l'balat mana, the one with the 200 zuz ksuba writes the one with 100 zuz I have no quarrels with you with the first 100 zuz. In other words, I'm not going to like intervene with that. So ihati aim a sefa. But if that's the case, it says shomatayim b'shal shalosh meyod shalosh shalosh shal zahav. He says that when it comes to the woman with the if the estate is 200 or 300 zuz. So one of them is going to get 150. So tema law, hasakha nafshach mina. So in other words, the one with the 300, in other words, why is it that the woman with the $300 ksuba, she's the woman with 200 ksuba, he says, you're out of this. So the first 100 zuz, I'm going to divide, let's give names. So Rachel will be the 100 zuz, Leah the 200 zuz, and Billa will be the 300 zuz. So Leah should say to Billa, so Leah is the one who said to Rachel, I'm not going to quarrel with you. Leah is the second one. I'm not going to quarrel with you the first 100 zuz. Fine. So Billa should say to Leah, you're out of the first 100 zuz. So the first 100 zuz, I'm going to divide it 50-50 together with you know, Rachel. So he says, Mishum da Amar law, Mithru Dvarim who the sleeky enough shoy. No, but she, Leah, can say back to Bila, Mizinu Dvarim, who does Sliki Nafshoi. So, means, look at Rashi. He says on the second medium wide line, Lonatati shall keep Matana. I didn't give my portion as a gift. Umasha Gavta, Lobashlihuti Gavta, Shomerli Natlazu Chalkapta. I didn't give it to her, like, take. I mean, she locked it's me, Milaribima. I just, I'm not going to, like, quarrel with you. I'm not going to, you know, argue my position to reduce your take. But now I'm gonna come to divide with you with the remainder. We each have an equal shibud regarding the remaining 50. So the estate is 200 zuz. The first ksuba is 100 zuz. The second ksuba is 200 zuz. Third ksuba is 300 zuz. So then Rachel owns the 100 zuz. So with the first 100 zuz, they each have a shiva, they each have a lien. But Leah says to Rachel, I'm not going to interpose myself to quarrel with you with the first 100 zuz. So I'm not going to quarrel with you. So it's going to be divided two ways, but then vis-a-vis Bilhah, that I haven't given up my rights, so I'm going to assert my rights vis-a-vis Bilhah. In other words, so I'm like, so I'm not getting involved to make your life difficult. And so then it's divided 50-50, but now of the remaining, so you got 50, but now the remaining 50, I want my due share. So the first 100 is divided 50, then 25-25. The second 100 is divided 50-50. So the ultimate distribution is that Rachel gets 50, and then Leah gets 75, and Bilhah gets 75. So they had 50 from between Bilhah and Leah are sharing 50 from the first 100 zuz. So each have 25 from the first 100 zuz. With the second 100, they're dividing equally, 50-50. So 50 and 25 is 75. That's coming up. It's coming up. Oh, okay. 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 Is that okay or not?
Let me
explain it to you. Yosef, and then we got to move on. Wait. I only have 1 more minute left. Anyway, so again, the whole estate is 200 zuz. The first 100 zuz, 50 is going to Rachel. The other 50 is being split. Is being split between Leah and Bilhah. So it's 25-25. The second 100 is being split two ways between Leah and Bilhah. So it's 75. So now Yosef's got it. Okay, what do you got for me, Fern? Then quick, I'm gonna go.
Does Bilhah's last 100 have the same legal effect as the statutory amounts of 1 and 200?
We'll skip the statutory amount. We're just dealing with the amounts that are in the ksuba. Skip the statutory amount. We're just dealing with the face values of the ksubas. So that's what we're dealing with. So Bilhah
has... But the Beis Din thinks that 100 and 200 is enough for someone to survive.
Let's not be social engineers right now. Let's just sort out the rights of the parties based on the shtarot, the IOU notes they have. That's what we want to do. They each come in with the shtar, and then the question is, what are they entitled to? Okay, now... what? Yeah, there is. Okay, I don't have time anymore. Okay, one second. Let me end the recording. 1 second.